Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would fill me with your power, and may your truth be proclaimed this morning. As we consider the topic, was baby Jesus God? Father, I pray that before this sermon is over, that in our hearts we would bow and we would worship this baby that was born in Bethlehem. Lord, if there's someone listening to this message who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today that they would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2. Who is this baby in the manger? Who is this baby in the manger? A baby is a precious gift. The arrival of a baby is anticipated with much excitement. I remember the day very clearly when Lisa discovered that she was expecting our first child. She was so excited. She couldn't wait to tell her parents and grandparents that a grandbaby was on the way. Finally, I was worth something to Lisa's dad. He tolerated me till this point. We had no idea then whether the baby would be a boy or a girl. We just were excited that a baby was on the way. It was another exciting day when the ultrasound revealed that this precious baby was a girl. Grandma and Aunt had already begun shopping for baby clothes, but when they found out the baby was a girl, then they went crazy. Dresses, skirts, shoes, t-shirts, frilly dresses, and of course, Oshkosh Bagosh. Leading up to Adriana's arrival, there were many visits to the doctor. Each time we were so excited to hear her little heart beat so strong and so fast. We knew during those last few months of the pregnancy that we had a little fireball on our hands. She was rarely still in her mother's womb, and would often push herself around in there to form the shape of a peanut. We called her a little peanut. When the day was set for her delivery, they do that in Texas. They don't let nature take its course. They just, okay, it's due. Let's go in the hospital and make this baby come. Well, when that day was set, we arrived at the hospital early on July 30th, early that morning, 1992, and on that morning, Lisa's labor was induced. And we were all so excited. We knew that that day, Adriana, or this baby, would arrive. I believe we had the name picked already. In late afternoon, around 4:30, Adriana finally arrived into this world. And all the doctor could say as she made her entrance was, "This baby has no hair." I mean it. This baby has no hair. That's all he could say. She arrived beautiful and healthy, but very, very bald. Nobody knew then how tall, I mean how short she would be. And we didn't know if she would ever have hair. We hoped, we expected, but we weren't sure. We didn't know then her sweet and enthusiastic personality. And we didn't know then how she would love God or how she would try to reach people with the gospel. All we knew then that she was our little girl. Now, if you, as a stranger, would have walked through the halls of that hospital, what was the name of that hospital? Angelo Community Hospital. I tried to figure it out, but I had forgotten that detail. But if you had walked through the halls of that hospital that day, and you saw baby Adriana, maybe in the little, you know, those little baby beds they roll around in the nursery, all that you would know about her was how long she was. Was she 20 inches or 19 inches? You don't remember? She was short then. And I believe she weighed 6 pounds, 14 ounces. Did I get that right? All right. You would have read that on the little bed, and you might have read the parent's name or something also on the bed. But that's all that you would know. Adriana didn't have a history yet. Her parents had a history, but she did not have a history. Like any other parent, the birth of baby Jesus was a much anticipated event for Mary and Joseph. Not to mention the circumstances leading up to this day were truly unbelievable. I think everyone else's events are quite typical for all people. But in the life of Mary and Joseph, there were some truly unbelievable circumstances leading up to the birth of this baby boy. If you were just a passerby in Bethlehem that night, all you would know was this was a baby boy, and it was born to Mary and Joseph. These people were travelers from Nazareth. They had traveled there to be counted in Rome's census. They lived 70 miles north, but they had come to be counted in the census. But to Mary and Joseph, this birth was a miracle. To the passerby, they did not know all of the details. This morning, as we look into the Old Testament scriptures, as we look at the unusual events leading up to the birth of Jesus, and the events immediately following his birth, I believe you will conclude that this baby in the manger was not just any baby. That this baby that we celebrate at Christmas was in fact God. I would like you to turn back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. I would like, first of all, to bring your attention to the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew that this baby that was being born was, in fact, God. She knew this before he arrived. Look with me at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. This did not happen to us when we were expecting Adriana. I don't believe it happened to anyone else in this room. But an angel appeared to Mary announcing the birth of this baby boy. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So this lady was a virgin. She had never had sexual relations. She was engaged. That's what the word espousal mean, or espoused. She was espoused to Joseph. She was of the house of David. You could trace her family tree back to King David. You can read about that, I believe, in Luke chapter 3, about her family tree. And then if you trace the family tree of Joseph, his family tree also went back to David. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 1. And it says in verse 27, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Look at her normal response, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I think I would be quite startled if an angel showed up at my house in my bedroom in the middle of the night, or the middle of the day for that matter. And she wondered, what is this greeting that this angel is bringing to me? Look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary was visited by an angel and was told that she would give birth to a baby boy. He would be called Jesus. He would be the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. He would reign as king on David's throne, and his kingdom would be eternal. You see, God had promised to the Jewish people a Messiah, a king who would restore David's kingdom to Israel, a king who would reign eternally. This was predicted in Isaiah chapter 9. After King David had already died and gone to heaven, God made this prediction in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God gave this message to the prophet Isaiah that a child would be born that would reign on David's throne, and this kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. God promised that this Messiah would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So God had made these promises to Israel, and now an angel shows up and tells Mary, This promise of a Messiah, it's going to be fulfilled through you. You are going to give birth to this Messiah. Well, Mary is kind of curious as to how this is going to happen. She is a virgin. She's never had sexual relations. And she asks this question. Then said, verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We see in this verse God defined to us as human beings. He's defined to us. We see in this verse that the Holy Ghost is going to do a miracle in Mary's womb. And that the power of the Highest, the power of God, is going to be upon Mary's womb. And there's going to be a child born from this womb that is going to be the Son of God. Mary was told how this miracle would take place. It would be a miracle. No one ever in history has had a child. No woman has ever had a child without a relation with a man. But God was going to do a miracle in Mary's womb. Now this is an amazing announcement. It's the only time it's ever happened in history. And God gives some reassurance to Mary that God can do the impossible, that God can do miracles. At that very time, she had a cousin named Elizabeth. And she was barren, meaning she was well past the age of childbearing. And God had done a miracle in her womb, and she was going to be giving birth to a baby boy. And the angel encourages Mary to believe God can do miracles. Look in verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." So God, Mary heard about this miracle. And look at Mary's response in verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." She accepted this, this privilege of bearing the Christ child, of bearing baby Jesus in her womb. She accepted that. She didn't know what it would all involve. She didn't know the struggles that she may need to face. But she was willing to trust God. She was willing to believe God. So when this baby was born in Bethlehem in the manger, Mary already knew that this baby was not just any baby, that this baby was God. Well, Joseph also, he knew that when this baby was born in Bethlehem, that this baby was God. Now, how did he come to have this knowledge? Well, in a little different way. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. I mentioned already that Joseph also was a distant relative of King David. It's very important to understand that he was related to King David. Otherwise, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem. And the Old Testament, we'll see in a little while, the Old Testament says that this king is going to be born in Bethlehem. And the only reason Joseph ended up in Bethlehem was because they were doing a census. They were doing a taxing. And everybody had to return to their place of origin to be counted, where they were born, where their family tree began. They had to go back to that place. So it's interesting to note that Joseph, although he was not the father of Jesus, he was of the house of David, and that necessitated his return to Bethlehem. Well, Mary meets the angel, and God, the Holy Spirit, does this miracle in her womb, and she begins showing her pregnancy. Oh, the other night, my wife and I were doing some Christmas shopping on Friday night, and we were at Starbucks, and there was a lady there that was great with child. She was great with child. She was expecting. I said, "Sweetheart, she has a whole table in front of her. She could, you know, put a plate up there or anything." She was great with child. Well, Mary began showing this pregnancy, and Joseph, he was a man of high character. He was a moral man. And he expected Mary to be a moral woman. Well, when this pregnancy began showing, I believe Joseph's question was, "Mary, why are you pregnant? I didn't do it. Who did it?" And she said, "The Holy Spirit did it." Now, who would believe a story like that? Joseph didn't believe it. Now, he was a kind man, but he was a just man. So he was beginning to make preparations to end their marital commitment even before they got married. He was going to try to divorce her before they married. You see, the espousal period was a much more serious period than our traditional engagement. Engagements in our culture, they break off, and it's not a major thing. But in the Jewish culture, when you were espoused, you were looked on by the community as already making a commitment, a marriage commitment together. But because of her unfaithfulness, or her appeared unfaithfulness, Joseph did not want to continue with this relationship. Notice in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." I admire Joseph. That even though he wanted to do what's right, he wanted to be kind about how he did the right thing. So he was making preparations to end this espousal, to divorce her. But look what happens. Another angel shows up. Look at verse number 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So I'm sure Mary already told Joseph, this baby in here, this was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And now the angel says to Joseph, that child in Mary's womb was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, when he heard from the angel that this child in Mary's womb was the Son of God, Joseph did what the angel said. And he took Mary as his wife. He respected her. He did not have sexual relations with her until after this baby was born. So when this baby was born in the manger, Joseph already knew that this baby was God. He didn't put that baby in her womb. God put that baby in her womb. And he knew that. He knew that baby Jesus was God. We also see that these names proclaim that baby Jesus was God. We notice in verse number 23 that they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And the book of John reveals that when this baby was born, or when this baby was created or was made in the womb, it was the eternal Word of God, or the eternal Son of God becoming human flesh. The Bible writes it this way in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh." The Word was made flesh. It tells us in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible is very clear that the existence of Jesus Christ did not begin in the womb. It did not. His existence did not begin when he was born in that manger. The Bible is very clear that the existence of Jesus Christ was eternal. He is as eternal as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They have existed forever and ever and ever. And His name indicates to us God with us. Remember Isaiah 9:6? We read it a minute ago. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This baby born in that manger, his name was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In Colossians 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God, of the Godhead, bodily." When Jesus became a man, when Jesus was born into this world through Mary's womb, He did not cease to be all God. He continued to be all God. But at the same time, He was all man. That is the miracle of the incarnation, God becoming a man. So we see that in the name Emmanuel, we know that He was God. We also see in Matthew 1 that one of His other names was Jesus. Was Jesus. And Jesus simply meant, He shall save His people from their sins. Now this wasn't a new message. This was the message of all the Old Testament Scriptures. This message began in Genesis chapter 3. When the first man and the first woman sinned. When they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. The Bible says they died. And on that day God came and He cursed. He cursed man, He cursed woman, and He cursed the serpent. He cursed Satan. And He said to Satan these words, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In the very first pages of the Bible, God promised that a woman would have a child. And this child would stamp on the head of Satan and would destroy his power. That was none other than a prediction that there was coming a Savior. You know, this prediction was repeated to Abraham. Abraham was the father of Israel. And God made a promise to Abraham. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." The only way mankind could be blessed is if sin was paid for. If sin could be forgiven. If man's relationship with God could be restored. There is no blessing for someone to live their life separated from God and then die and spend eternity in hell. So if the child of Abraham is going to be a blessing to all nations, this child of Abraham has to pay the penalty of sin. When you think of Noah, also, God provided a door of salvation to Noah. God promised judgment upon Noah's world. The Bible says the hearts and the minds of the people in Noah's day were only evil continually. And God said, "It repented me that I have made man." And God said, "I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth." He said, "I'm going to do it in 130 years. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God told Noah to build an ark. There was only one way into that ark. It was through a door. And the Bible says when it began to rain, 2 weeks before it began to rain, God told Noah and his family, get on the ark. And they went through that door onto the ark, and the Bible says that God shut the door. You see, God offered to Noah a door of salvation. And it's a wonderful picture of the door of salvation. After Jesus grew up as from a baby and became a man, He said these words. In John chapter 10, He said, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He said, "I am the door of salvation." This was promised to Noah. And then when you think of the children of Israel, God promised a lamb to Israel to take away their sin. Read Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, God foretold that there would be a lamb that would suffer for the sins of the people, and that would be cut off from the land of the living as a sacrifice. So when we think of the name Jesus means He shall save His people from their sin. The whole Old Testament of Scripture predicted a Savior. So when this baby was born in the manger, Mary and Joseph already knew that this was Emmanuel, God with us, and they already knew that this was the Savior that would take away the sins of the world. When John the Baptist, 30 years after Christ's birth, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We've learned this morning that Mary knew that this baby was God. Joseph knew that this baby was God. The names that he was named proclaimed that he was God. I've alluded to this already, but his birth in Bethlehem proves that he was God. In the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, God made a prediction or a prophecy. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," it was just a little insignificant town. It says, "Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." This Messiah, this King of Israel, would come out of Bethlehem. And it says of this ruler, "whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." He would originate in Bethlehem, but his existence was forever. Well, when you consider that Mary and Joseph, they lived in Nazareth, approximately 70 miles north of Bethlehem, it was a miracle of God's sovereignty that Mary would give birth while visiting Bethlehem. Everything had to be timed just right. The Bible predicted the ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem. But they lived in Nazareth. But they both were from Bethlehem, and the king, King Herod, ordered a census. And because of that order, they had to leave their comforts of home. I don't know how comfortable they had it in Nazareth. But they didn't live in a barn. They didn't live in a manger. They had to leave their home and they had to travel down to Bethlehem to be counted. And just after they arrive, they give birth to this baby boy. Mary gives birth to this baby boy, which was predicted in the Old Testament. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. His birth in Bethlehem proves that he was God. Now turn with me in your Bible. You might want to keep your finger in Matthew chapter 2 here, but turn over back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, where we began this morning. Mary knew that this baby was God. Joseph knew that this baby was God. His names proclaim that he was God. His birth in Bethlehem proves that he was God. And the events, lastly, the events surrounding his birth indicate that he was God. On the night of Christ's birth, in the surrounding hills, there were shepherds watching their flocks. They had no idea Mary and Joseph even existed. They had no idea they had come to Bethlehem to be counted. But on that night, angels show up in the hill country And they say, the Son of God is born. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In the next few verses, it must have been surprising when all of a sudden people start showing up at the manger to see Mary's baby. Mary and Joseph, if they had family that were still alive that lived in Jerusalem, I don't think they'd be staying in a manger. Nobody knows them. And then all of a sudden these shepherds start converging on them in the middle of the night, and they were told by an angel that this was the Christ child. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. You notice it says Mary and Joseph, they were lying in the manger too. You know, people do that at night. They were sleeping. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Remember, we've already learned about Joseph that he was a just man. He was a kind man. And he didn't leave his wife and her new baby, the Christ child, he didn't leave him in the manger for long. When you read Matthew chapter 2, they are still in Bethlehem, but they are now in a small house. And it's not a big issue with me, but when you see a nativity scene and you see the manger and you see the cattle and the sheep all around baby Jesus, you won't. And you'll often see shepherds and you'll often see wise men. The wise men didn't show up that night. Now they had been alerted by this birth by a star in the sky, and when they saw this star in the sky, they traveled a great distance from Asia. They traveled from Asia, I guess on camels or horses, to see this King of the Jews that was born. And when they arrive, Mary and Joseph are in a small home there in Bethlehem. Notice what it says. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. Then Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. It's amazing to me that the religious community, they were not aware that Jesus was down there in Bethlehem. But these wise men from the east, they wanted to know God so much that God allowed them to see a star, and they started traveling to see this baby Jesus. Verse 6, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art now the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This is Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then when they were coming to the house, you see, it doesn't say when they were coming to the manger. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, this is another assurance, I'm sure, that God gave to Mary and Joseph. It's apparent that they did not immediately return to Nazareth after they were counted. I believe that God must have spoken to Joseph and said, "Don't go anywhere." And he got a home and they stayed there for a while. And one day, you know, on the day Jesus was born, the shepherds show up. But now, these wise men show up from a far country bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Has anybody ever had any kings show up at their house after a child was born? No. King of England has never come to my house. The Queen has never showed up at my house. I heard Adriana was born. No. Never happened to me and never happened to you. But out of nowhere, before the internet, before cell phones, before text messaging, before television and satellites, God had told these wise men to follow the star to see the King of the Jews. And they show up and they bring these gifts to Jesus. What evidence that this baby was not just a baby, but this baby was God. You know, angels, they were involved in this whole miracle. The angels warned these wise men. They were warned of God in a dream to go back to the east a different way, to avoid Herod. So they leave and they return home a different way. And then an angel shows up to Joseph in verse 13 and says, "Joseph, take your family and go to Egypt." Notice what it says. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" When you read verse 16 and verse 17, Herod became angry because he realized that the wise men tricked him and went a different way. So he ordered the execution of all children 2 years of age and under in the whole area of Bethlehem. But we see God's protection upon Mary and Joseph. This baby Jesus was helpless in a sense, but he was protected because he was God. And the angels and God moved him to Egypt, and they stayed there until God said, "Joseph, come back." And when they came back, they didn't park at Bethlehem. They went back to Nazareth. Because the Bible says that he would be called a Nazarene, because that's where he was from. So Jesus grew up in Nazareth. But all of these interesting and amazing details of the birth and the details following his birth show us and prove to us that this baby Jesus was in fact God. Have you discovered the Christ of Christmas? It is one of the most beloved holidays of the year. To many children, it is thought to be the most wonderful day of the year. But what does the biblical account of the Christmas story tell us? Well, it's an event. Christmas is an event. It is the history. It is history, and the baby Jesus born in Bethlehem was one of the greatest events of all time. Even though we cannot be sure of the actual date of Christ's birth, Christmas is as real as our own birthdays. The baby that lay in the manger was the miracle we call the incarnation. God became man without ceasing to be God. The creator of the world became a child. The birth of Christ has had more of an impact on the world than the birth of anyone else. To anyone who is a Christian, becoming born again was a real event in their life. And Jesus Christ has had more of an influence on them than anyone else ever has or ever will. They have truly been made new. Christmas is an event, but Christmas is also an evangel. What is an evangel? It simply means it's good news. Because it proclaims that in spite of who and what we are, God loves us so much that He has provided a remedy from the destruction of sin. 1 Timothy 1 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." From the moment of Adam and Eve's disobedience, God has fulfilled His promise to bring salvation to the world. By the sacrifice of Himself on the cross, Jesus overthrew the lawlessness of sin, and He sets Christians free from sin's bondage. Christmas is an event. Christmas is an evangel. Christmas is an experience. As you think of how Jesus was delivered in a lowly stable, most certainly an unfit place for the birth of a king, be reminded of His humility. For He came out of perfection. He came out of heaven to walk this guilty earth and suffer crucifixion for the sins of the world. You can walk into any stable, even ones that are cleaned three times daily, where even horses worth tens of thousands of dollars reside. And you will find that all stables, all mangers, all barns that house animals stink. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart with the Word of God, you will come to understand that you are like a stinky stable, unfit for the King of Kings to be born and to reside in. However, born again Christians do have Jesus Christ living in them and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Spirit of Christ came to live in Christians to make them like Jesus. The sure sign and seal of the indwelling Savior is increasing Christ-likeness. Receiving God's Christmas gift, Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, will give you new motives, will give you new desires, and Holy Spirit empowerment to live a life that brings glory to the Savior. Have you discovered the Christ of Christmas? Have you accepted the message? Have you allowed Him to come into your stinky stable and save you from your sin? He wants entrance today. Is there any room in your inn? Is there any room in your heart to allow Jesus to come in today? He is the Son of God. He's not just another baby like Adriana. He is God in the flesh who came to be the Savior of the world. If you're not saved today, will you ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. This message is a message of salvation. It's a message of hope. So as the pianist comes to the piano, I would like to give you an opportunity. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you from your sins, I would like to give you an opportunity to pray in your heart now to ask Him to be your Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and save you from the hell that you deserve to pay, if you've never asked Him to be your Savior, will you ask Him today? In the quietness of your heart, would you direct this prayer to Jesus Christ? This church cannot save you. This pastor cannot save you. But Jesus Christ is waiting to save you if you'll just ask Him. If you would like to be saved today, would you pray from your heart this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for coming into this world to pay the penalty of my sins. I admit this morning that I have sinned against You. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart right now and be my Savior. I am trusting what You have done for me on the cross as the only payment for my sin. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me.